Previously on the Prophecy Tango. This party has a ton of cool abilities, way too many magic items, and a whole lot of issues. They journey now to Zendrick in search of the mythical Shadar Kai, who hold the key to saving the citizens of the town of Wispy Gulch from a dark carnival within the Lands of Mist.
When the power of my faith had given me just wasn't enough, I died that day.
A laboratory, a colleague, someone that he trusted. An accident.
Also with you, the confounding twins, Lael and Aaron Witchborn.
Do you know whom this belongs to?
The sigil of the Sovereign Host.
Shahid, would you care to look behind us? I'm seeing something rather large coming our way.
Shahid's gonna tell everyone to get to the port side of the ship. Ready cannons.
If they get close, make sure to put a nice big hole in them.
Were we given like a homework assignment to understand airships? Because I definitely did not do that.
Bomb!
Oh my god. You gotta be kidding me.
Rocco activates the emergency glide wings on the port side of the ship.
You know this didn't just happen out of nowhere.
All right, I love you in that ass. All right, go!
She stops giving you orders, rushes towards the railing, and throws herself over.
Does this seem out of character?
Absolutely.
There was a sound when we got close to the fog bank, and everyone started jumping off.
Are we landing this thing? Because I don't know how much longer I keep this thing controlled. Come on, old girl. Don't let me down yet. He shrugs his shoulders, braces, and slowly pulls the energy back to the point where he can slow enough to where they stop on the ground.
Rocco finds himself atop smoldering rocks in a dark sea. Magma hisses as it meets the ocean, and every few seconds, gouts of lava erupt around him. Before him, the wreckage of the new morning slouches. Shahid, apparently dead, is draped across the railing. As he is wondering where he is and what fate befell the rest of his friends, he hears a shriek from above. He turns to see a winged creature plummeting towards him, an instant before its talons pierce his skin.
So, looking around, just moments before feeling that laceration in his shoulder, Rocco stands staring at his fallen comrade hanging over the edge of the boat. And this small forest gnome, it hits him like a bomb hitting his head, almost, of just memories of how he ended up in a situation like this. Once a treasure of his hometown, Talargo, Rocco was what you could imagine every parent would want their kid to be. He was brilliant, followed the rules, and never got into much trouble. But as the times changed, so did his eldest brother, who eventually went off to fight in the war, and upon never returning, Rocco sought him out. But more so than searching out his brother, Rocco went searching for answers. An answer to a riddle that his brother left behind for him. Not necessarily a riddle of how to find his brother, but more so a riddle of knowledge. And at such a young age, that led Rocco to always wonder, what else is there that he doesn't know? What more could he possibly understand? And it led to him understanding that there were no limits, that knowledge could be used anywhere and have any power that you applied to it. You just had to have that knowledge. So, of course, as an adventurer, being purely from Zalargo and never leaving town, life's been rough. But eventually he found companions who could help guide him, help protect him as he researched and understood the world around him. Rocco standing there, you know, bravely but shortly, because he's short, has his green blanket wrapped around his neck, draping him like a cloak, with his leather armor beaten, barely being able to be considered armor, but he wears it proudly because one day it's going to be what helps him find his brother and solve the riddle. His dark emerald eyes, they burn when the lights of the flames around him start to hit, and he can't help but wonder, how the heck did I end up in this situation?
Very nice. Rocco, as the claws of this newly arrived creature dig into your shoulders and begin to lift you off the ground, I need you to make a strength check.
Okay. I'm sure this will go well with my minus two to strength. That is a six.
Okay. You are lifted from the burning rock upon which you stood and raised about 20 feet in the air. The creature that has you at the moment is feathered, you can tell. Long, sharp talons have dug into you and are keeping you suspended. You feel claws raking across your cheeks. 25 is going to hit you. Once the claws swipe at you, you manage to jerk your head away. A second time, they come down, dealing 8 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Of course, with your uncanny dodge, you will only take 4 if you want to expend your reaction.
Seeing how it's just the two, me and this flying creature, I'll go ahead and expend that reaction. I don't think anything else hits me. Ooh, actually, I lied. I'm not going to uncanny dodge that. Instead, I'm going to use my feet fade away.
Okay.
And turn invisible for my reaction.
Okay. Rocco, you are now invisible. You hear a sort of squawk of confusion. One of the creature's talons releases you, so now you're just sort of dangling by the other. It still has a hold of you, but it is definitely confused as to where you might have gone. Okay. And I'm going to pop away from you for a second, then we're going to come back and be in initiative order. Sander, alone in this rocky land with this roiling vortex, this large black ball roiling with silvery light, surrounded by brilliant white light. You hear a shriek and claws dig into your shoulder as you are lifted a few inches off the ground. I need you to make a strength check.
All right. Oh my god.
Woo!
This okay. man rolls a natural 20 on his strength saving throw.
The boy with minus 1 in strength gets a nat 20. My boy.
Very nice. Explain to me how you are going to struggle free from this creature, and I'm going to give you a little bonus depending on what you do.
Well, I do have my winged boots, so the minute I feel myself get clawed in the shoulder, I immediately click my heels, the wings sort of sprout out a little bit, and I, in a matter of frustration and anger, I simply pull back as I rear my hand up, and I prepare to use a spell on this creature as I yell out, as I scream to it, "Get off me, you pest!"
All right. Why don't you go ahead and make an unarmed attack for me?
Oh, goody. That's great. Can I... let's see here. Should I just make like a dex check then for an unarmed strike, or what do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
12.
Okay. Roll me some damage.
Well, it'll be one, because I have a minus one. Well, yeah, it'll be a one. Because I'm just hitting with my little mamby-pamby hand, just a bang! Unless there's a specific die you want me to roll for the set damage for an unarmed strike.
No, it's just one. You're right.
Yep.
Why don't you roll me a d4?
Oh, being generous, I see.
I am.
Or it could be zero rolling a d4, you know.
Well, it's still a one, folks.
Okay.
Man said it was a one, and it's a one.
Man said one. Okay, I get it. It's one. So... Awesome. Andor, you deploy your winged boots of flying, thrust upward, shaking yourself loose from the creature. Unfortunately, not really doing too much damage. And you are now free. Before you, hovering before you, is this creature. She has dark black wings. Her torso is nearly bare. She carries in one hand a net with what look like claws of some unknown creature strung about it. Her lower body is feathered, her legs terminating in massive eagle's talons. We're going to start initiative proper and go to Dr. Ward. You are in the aforementioned Sandy Cove with your companions. Most of the crew who did not jump overboard have elected to stay on the ship. You, Kraz, Aaron, Clout Bremer, and Shaeed have all disembarked. At the moment, you see very little. Some seaweed washed upon the shore. You do catch sight of some crab-like creatures scuttling around in the sand, however. Kraz sees one of them and rushes impetuously forward with his axe raised, chops at one of them. Then his hand recoils as you see the head of his axe disintegrate into sand, and he is left only holding a wooden haft. Dr. Ward.
Well, that's different. So he swung, hit the thing, and it turned into sand. Interesting. I'm going to, all right, this is, we don't see our companions, any of them.
Nope.
And all we see are these crab-like creatures.
Yep.
All right. Ward is going to... I have theories, but I don't have any evidence yet. I'm going to try stuff and then see what happens. So I'm going to try to I meant Sacred Flame for this first crab creature here with a DC of 16.
Okay. So, wisdom?
That is in dexterity. Dexterity.
Dexterity, yeah. I should have known it's a physical effect.
Yeah.
That's a failure.
Okay, so for that, that'll be 13 points of damage as I raise my arm and fire a bolt of radiant flame at the crab. While also paying attention to, I want to see if it impacts the creature, but also looking over at Kraz and his now half axe thing, kind of incredulously. And I will, I'm going to move near him.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's all I can really do right now.
Okay. Yeah, Kraz just gives you a look and a grunt as he holds up the wooden handle of his axe. Gives you a questioning look.
Did the damage impact the crab creature?
It did. It did. So your flame sears into it, charring some of its carapace. You can actually see one of its legs kind of burn away. It scuttles back away from you, but others are pressing forward. Although they have yet to attack. Shaid's turn.
Okay. Shaid's gonna move up slightly, about 15 feet. And I believe that puts me in range of what I want to do here. It does. So, Cycle, if you could, cue the one that Ward hit. Can you give me a wisdom save?
Absolutely.
It'll be DC 19. As it should be.
14 is failure.
I don't know why it says, I'm sorry, it's 17 anyway, but I was,
I was like, holy shit, man!
No. I was looking at my... Ignore that, sorry. I saw the one from my spell save DC, and the spell attack bonus was a 9, so it's like, oh, fight in my head.
I was like, this
yeah, no. So failed, you said?
Yeah, it failed.
The all right, so failed. You will get, since it already took damage, you will get 2d12.
Okay.
Necrotic damage.
All right, go ahead and roll.
17 points of necrotic damage.
It just, as your ringing bells of your spell surround the creature, it just explodes pieces of...
And I should probably say how he casts it. Like, he has a spear out, he has a shield out. He clangs the shield against his spear, making the bell sound. And that's what emanates his energy.
All right.
And I believe as a bonus action, I will use the Relentless Bulwark to cast Shield of Faith on myself.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Movement, action, bonus. Is that your turn?
That is my turn.
Okie dokie. Sandor. Facing off against this creature. What would you like to do?
Well, first off, if I recall correctly from last game, you mentioned the fact that the song I was hearing, you sounded familiar. Could I assume that I know this creature that I'm fighting against, or no?
You've never seen this creature before. No.
Well, I don't want to see it right now anyways. I'm going to lift a hand, and I'm going to cast Polymorph on it. DC 16.
That's a failure.
She will turn into a butterfly.
All right. Facing off against this winged creature that attempted to grapple you and carry you into the air, she becomes a butterfly.
I'm going to take the rest of this. I'm going to move myself. I want to see, is there anything I can do to sort of examine the area around me and see if either there's more of this creature or if there's like some sort of exit? Because I don't think that this is necessarily... Like, I don't feel like I'm in the same location I was when we were on the ship.
Yeah, that would be a pretty logical conclusion. You weren't able to see this cove while you were above the fog bank. All you know is that you plunged through the fog bank, landed in the water, and came out and found yourself here. But the darkness of the atmosphere, this large roiling vortex, these were definitely not things that you had seen while you were aboard the ship. I'll let you give you a free perception check.
Kiop. Soft 20.
All right.
We only roll 20s in this house.
Apparently so.
You can spot another similar, but clearly different winged creature in the distance. It looks like it might be engaged with someone else. It has a person in its arms, but you can't tell who it is from distance.
Well, I have movement still, so I'll use my 30 feet of movement to make my way in that general direction. I'm going to move right over here, right above the bridge, past the butterfly. I'm just going to let her float there, because I don't think she has the speed to catch up with me. Okay. But even if she does, at the very least, I'll have an ally with me before dealing with her. But as a bonus action, I will use Mantle of Majesty on myself.
Okay.
Or Mantle of Inspiration, rather. And using my reaction, I will gain 8 temporary hit points and move my movement further forward.
Okay.
So that'll get me right next to this person. Do I see this person and recognize who it is?
Currently in the claws of this creature, you do not recognize this person at all. They are dressed in dark leathers, their hood up. They have a pair of swords strapped to their back, many daggers about their person. This could have been one of the assassins from the attacking ship. It could be someone else entirely.
Oh.
The creature that is carrying it, again, similar to, but not the same as the creature who accosted you. She is covered head to toe in black feathers, her legs terminating into large eagle claws, large black wings. Around her neck, a variety of crystals suspended in golden clasps hanging about her neck. She carries a long curved sword in one of her hands, and it is this sword that she swings at you now.
Okay.
The first swing misses. She puts so much of her momentum behind it that she releases this other figure who tumbles into the water. It's hard to make out whether he's conscious or not. You haven't heard any sound or seen any movement from him in the last few seconds here. Her second swing, however, hits you. It's a 17.
Yep, that hits.
And you're going to take 9 points of slashing damage.
Thank you, temporary HP, and now constitution save for that, for my polymorph. 22! We only roll 20s in this house!
Very nice, very nice. All right.
Save some for the rest of us, please.
don't worry, I'll balance them out with my low rolls.
Yeah, I might need those. I've got ideas. I might need those good rolls.
I would like to say the last thing that happens before I guess we change scenes is as Sander gets sliced up a little bit, because of his temporary hit points, he only takes 1 damage. So he'll like look at his like scuffed robes and just kind of look up to her and say, "You rancid bitch." And that's my turn.
Okay.
Rit. You bitch! I will strike you with my ring hand!
All right.
How dare you?
Rocco, while all this is happening, you hear a voice coming from the derelict ship. Rocco, is that you? You recognize the voice as Althea.
Oh, thank God, my love.
And as she is speaking to you, the creature that is still carrying you slashes at you. Ooh, that's a critical. But the second one is a 12, so that misses.
Yeah, 12 misses.
16 points of slashing damage.
I'm going to uncanny dodge that one. Ow.
You hear another screech as a second creature appears. This one, black wings, her lower body covered in black feathers, her legs terminating into large eagle claws. In her hand, a net, which she casts at Althea, who is grappled by the net. Rocco, as this creature casts her net, grappling Althea, you hear a squawk from her and see her seem to explode in a cloud of feathers. In her place is a small butterfly.
My girl!
Sandor?
Yes.
The creature that you transformed into a butterfly begins to move towards you. And as it does, the butterfly begins to change shape.
Oh, no.
Or more accurately.
Oh, no.
Begins to become many butterflies.
That's not good at all.
She's multiplying as she hurtles towards you, wings flapping, disturbing the air around you. This swarm of butterflies surrounds you.
Once again, for those listening to the podcast, I just want you all to know that it's at this point in which Sandor does the Homer Simpson yell and goes, ah!
You need to make a dexterity save for me, please.
I can do that, sir. 23. We only roll 20s in this house.
This man is rolling rocks tonight.
Someone get this man to Destino right now.
I need to play Lotto.
All right. You can barely see from being surrounded by this creature, but you can see. It is now Rocco's turn.
So she's popped into a butterfly. I assume I'm not still held by her then, or am I grappled by a butterfly?
No, this is a different creature.
Oh, there was a different creature that I saw burst into a butterfly, but I'm still being grappled by the one.
Yep.
Understood. Well, okay. I will go ahead and I'm just going to pull my phoenix arrow out of the quill, and rather than try and load it to fire, I'm simply just going to take it and reach above my head and jab it into this creature's leg as it's holding me.
Very awesome. Okay, you can roll that like a melee weapon that you're proficient with.
Okay.
Probably like a dagger.
A 13 to hit?
A 13 does not hit, unfortunately.
Well,
she's able to bat your phoenix arrow away before it can
get advantage for stealth.
Would a 14 hit?
I don't know. Where does a 14 come from?
I mean, don't we get the... Oh, is that not enacted yet?
No, it starts on round two. And although he's going again, he's actually...
Yeah, that's why. Okay.
This is actually his first...
Is he technically stealth right now? So does he get an advantage when he rolls?
No, because she hit me. She knows where I'm at and all that.
I just remember being a missile. That's it.
Oh, boy.
Rocco takes the arrow and I... At the, because he misses, I'm assuming he's almost like looking down at the ground with how he's being held, and he just pulls the air out and is just like stabbing behind him with hopes and just whiffs.
I don't want to scare you, but because I know it's a little confusing, on her turn when she attacked you, she rolled 8 d20s to attack you.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, thank God I get my one attack as a rogue.
Well, because she has to roll a disadvantage, so... But she also has some things that make her, give her some, yeah. I love the look on Roshan's face right now.
Yeah, because I'm doing quick math right now.
Does she have four attacks?
She has four attacks.
Okay,
no, she has two attacks and some interesting
abilities.
Yeah, I can imagine how. Well, I mean, I can imagine easily how you get four attacks. So it's okay.
My apologies for that.
Did you bring your alt?
So many of you in different places. Okay. It is Ward's turn once again, and our escalation die is at 1.
All right. So, Ward is fairly intelligent, and has seen weird shit enough. I'm asking, how willing would I be to make the leap that there's something screwy about the fact that, like, we don't see anybody?
You know, why don't you make an insight check for me?
Okay. 21.
Very nice, very nice. A less intelligent man might think all my friends just fell into the ocean, and that's why I don't see them. But you really don't see any signs of them falling into the ocean. You saw where they all fell, which means that someone from your crew should at least be here, dead, head bashed upon the rocks, or in the sand, or struggling to swim up to the shore, but you don't see any of these things at all.
Okay.
It's safe to say that something very strange is going on here.
All right. So, I want to try something crazy. I want to try something really, really crazy. So, both Sandor and Rocco have objects that were worked on by Dr. Ward. And Dr. Ward, being somebody who's an adventurer and stuff like that, probably uses a lot of the same things in multiple projects. Like, if you buy a bunch of fabric, like, you use all the fabric. Like, you don't just make one shirt and then go, well, I'm throwing out the rest of it. Like, you're gonna keep using it. So maybe some of the leather that went into Rocco's bracer ended up is like part of the leather that's in Sandor's armor. Particularly any of the metal pieces, because Ward also would have used at least some of those metal pieces in the arm that he has now. So, what I want to do, and I'll burn 4th level spell slots, whatever, I want to try some like quantum physics string theory type of shit. Okay. I want to try to connect whatever, you know, same molecules essentially that are in my arm with fucking Rocco's bracer and Sandor's armor, and see if I at the very least can get an idea of where they are.
Okay.
I don't know what that would be.
I know, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, why don't you burn a second level spell slot for that?
Okay, sure. Why not? I'll do that. All right, burning a second level spell slot. That is done.
Okay, so as you use your arm, your magically constructed prosthesis to attempt to connect with the materials used in the gear that you've built for your companions. Watching your arm for a reaction, you see two things happen at once. One portion of it is made as if it was brand new. It just catches the light and gleams. It's clean, it's bright. It looks like you could have made it today. You know, the rest of your arm shows some wear from the amount of time that you've had on it. There's grease, there's dirt, there's sand clung to it. But this small section of it is factory fresh. At the same time, another section of it appears to age 100 years in an instant. Spots of rust appear on it, scratches where there were none before.
Okay.
And I'm going to call that your action.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to, and then for my second semi-dumb thing I'm going to do, I'm going to move up to the crab.
Okay.
And as of right now, I'm not going to do anything to it. I just kind of want to see if I move towards it, like, is it aggressive or is it like, is it like trying to attack me or is it like recoiling, like, there's a creature in my space, like, leave me alone.
It has these two kind of long antenna at the top of its head, and both of them reach towards you, and it raises a claw as if it is going to strike. It is indeed aggressive.
All right, that's fine. So it is indeed aggressive. I've used my action, my move. I have a bonus action, which I could use if I really wanted to. No, I'm good for right now. I'll leave that. I'm gonna stay where I am and ponder the weird information I have received.
Okay.
Life's mysteries.
Right. All right, Sandor, your new friend who has been dropped into the ocean is struggling to keep his head above water. He gasps out for help. He is, at the moment, keeping himself above water, however. Rocco, Althea struggles against the net wrapped around her and manages to free herself from it. She casts it off. She rises to her feet. You hear a sound like someone running their finger around the rim of a wine glass. It rings out in the air, and you hear Althea shout, "Diadema animus tus!" And the swarm of butterflies drifting towards you breaks apart for a moment. Some of the butterflies flying dead down to the ground. Some of the butterflies wither into just black shapes as they fall down into the burning rocks. Now, back to all of you on the beach. More of these crab-like creatures are emerging from the water. Some of them begin scuttling down the rocks towards you. The one beside you, Ward, snaps at you with one of his claws, and he misses. You're able to pretty easily kick this thing aside. Another one makes its way towards you, Shaid, scuttling down the rock, snaps at you with its claw. That is a 20.
That's a miss. Get out of here with that.
So it almost snaps your ankle, but you were able to push it aside as well. And now, Shaid, it is your turn.
All right. And I'm not too sure about... Would I be able to infer that maybe my magic weapon would have a better chance of not being disintegrated like the deckhands was, or...
Make an insight check for me.
Alright. Eight.
I think you would be a little concerned that your weapon might experience the same fate as Kraz's axe.
Alright. So what Shade's gonna do then, he's going to take a step back here, like her attack of opportunity if need be.
Indeed. It's a 21.
That's a miss. And he's gonna sidle up between Ward and Kraz, so they get the benefit of my aura. And then he's going to launch two Eldritch Blasts at the crab who just swung at him.
Okay.
So you see Shahid put his spear in the ground, extend his hand, finger, thumb and forefinger raised, like he's making a handgun. And he's going to fire.
Okay.
Is a 22 hit?
It does.
That's damage from that. 6 force damage from the first one.
Okay.
And number 2. 23.
It hits.
And 8 force damage from the second one.
All right. Shahid's Eldritch Blast tear into the creature, sending bits of its shell scattering off into the sand. You've definitely done some damage to it. One of its legs is now missing. A good third of its shell has been exploded, revealing these fleshy, sinewy bug bits below.
And as just a flavor bonus action, he's going to pick his bear up, like, where he thrusts into the ground tip first and, like, do a little spin and ready himself for an attack.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
Sander.
I'm going to look at this guy that's beneath me. I'm just going to stare at him. I'm just going to look at him as he's struggling. He's calling out. You said he was calling for help, right?
He is, yeah.
You're just going to hear Sander just kind of go, God damn it, I thought I'd have a fucking help here. I'm going to... How far away is he from me?
How high up are you right now? I mean, how far above the surface of the rock? Okay.
I'm just hovering above the rock, like, a little bit.
Then he's about 10 feet below you in the water.
All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use another one of my Mantle of Inspirations on both of us. And that means I can move away from these guys, these things, without taking an attack opportunity. I'm going to move first 10 feet here, and I would like to see if using his Mantle of Inspiration as well as my own, see if I can grab onto him and get him out of the water with me.
Okay. Go ahead and make an athletics check.
How about a performance check? Did that work for you?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, you could sing to him as he's drowning if you'd like.
It's a soft 8. It's an 8. It's an 8. There goes my 20s.
You flew too close to the sun, my friend.
I'm not even hovering that high.
The sun is very low right now.
You are not able to grab him. You're also going to provoke an attack of... No, you're not. Never mind. I'm sorry. I have too many things going on.
No worries.
You're not able to grab him.
Okay. Well, that's my bonus action. For my action, I am going to... The vortex is on the far end. You said it was hovering above the rocks, right?
Yeah.
I can't fight these things. I know that for sure. I don't know who this person is. I'm going to, as I'm hovering above this guy, I'm going to, which by the way, we both get 8 temporary hit points. I'm going to look to the two enemies, and I'm going to cast Hypnotic Pattern right at them.
Okay.
It's like, Sander's like, I need time. I need time to plan, I need time to get away, and to decide if I'm willing to take the plunge into that vortex to make a Hail Mary.
Okay.
So, DC 16 saving throw for the two of them. It's a wisdom save again.
Okay. The winged creature succeeds. The swarm of butterflies also succeeds.
Well, that's not good, because since I used it, now polymorph pops, and it's no longer a butterfly. Oh, no.
Oh, she's back and she's mad. Thank you for listening to episode 2 of The Prophecy Tango. Our theme song is Tango de Manzana by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Rocco's theme is Thinking Music by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Our background music is SCP, SCP-6, Deep Haze, I Can Feel It Coming, Black Vortex, Our Story Begins, and Shores of Avalon, all by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. We'd appreciate it if you'd leave a review of our show at your podcast platform of choice. See you next time.